Thank you to the organizers for inviting me to speak today. I guess I'm going to take you down in scale quite a bit here, and then I'm going to be talking about just a single agroecosystem and part of a project that we have looking at nutrient retention and how conservation management affects that in these West Tennessee agroecosystems. And very much as Dr. Robertson said, this is a talk, I'm going to take you down into the weeds, as it were, but I can't promise that I'll be able to bring you back out again, because this project is still ongoing. So I'm going to show you our latest results and what we think they mean. So first of all, I'd like to thank all the people involved in this project, specifically my postdoc, Julie McKnight Conkle, who's done literally all the work on this project and whose data I'm showing. Brian Kozlowski, the field technician responsible for keeping the plots going, and a host of graduate students and undergraduates, our funding agencies, the USDA grant from NEFA, and also some internal funding from UT through a research innovations grant. And then I'd like to give special thanks to Don Tyler. He's a co-author on this talk, but he is a member of our department who was the one who installed these plots that I'm going to be talking about today 31 years ago, in 1981, and who recently passed away earlier this year. So special thanks to Don. This would not be possible without his hard work. So, like I said, our larger project is about nutrient retention in agroecosystems, but part of that is understanding how soil greenhouse gas fluxes vary with biology, environment, and management. I am a biogeochemist. I study nitrogen cycling, and this is probably the simplest piece of a nitrogen cycle I've ever shown in a slide. I do have a much more complicated one, but I thought I wouldn't have time to talk about it. So basically, we are looking at nitrogen inputs into these agroecosystems via either nitrogen-fixing cover crops or inorganic nitrogen fertilizer, the internal cycling of that nitrogen in the soil by microbes, plants, and their production and consumption of soil organic matter, and then for the purposes of this talk, losses from these ecosystems in terms of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane, although I'm not going to talk about CO2 today, and I have only one half of a slide on methane. So this is almost all about nitrous oxide today. And what we're interested in is how this balance of our conservation agricultural management practices interact with the biology and environment to control these fluxes. So as I said, we have a long-term experiment going at one of our research stations in West Tennessee, which, if you're not familiar with the state, is the main agricultural region of the state. And we are looking at a combination of three main agricultural management practices. In our case, no tillage, variable rate fertilization, and also the planting of winter cover crops. Now, we're lucky in that that Western Tennessee has a long history of no-tillage agriculture, stretching back, obviously, into the late 70s and early 80s, mainly as a means to control erosion from these silty, lust-derived soils. But we've come to understand the additional benefits over time in terms of carbon sequestration and perhaps greenhouse gas emissions. So one of the rationales for us starting the original study was trying to, well, we knew in terms of management practices, balancing production and sustainability. There are lots of studies that show, you know, the effects of reduced and zero tillage, winter cover cropping on soil carbon and nitrogen biochemistry. But there are very few that have all of these management activities combined and in a full factorial experimental design, and even fewer that have been going on for a long period of time. And I hope by the end of this talk I'll show you that I think it might be critical to have these long-term experiments, because it looks like perhaps soil structure and aggregate formation may be critical to controlling some of these nitrogen dynamics, and it's very hard to see those changes in soil physical structure over a lot of our shorter-term experiments. So, like I said, we conducted this experiment at the West Tennessee Research and Education Center in Jackson, Tennessee. If you go along the interstate, which sort of runs east-west across the state of Tennessee, it's about halfway in between Nashville and Memphis. And this is a continuous cotton field with a full factorial design with tillage treatments, nitrogen rate, and cover crop treatments. They were set up in 1981 and include a randomized block split plot design. That's great, where we have in the main plot nitrogen variation, so four different levels of fertilization from zero nitrogen added all the way up to 108 kilograms per hectare. Today I'm only going to show you data from the zero nitrogen fertilizer added and 72 kilograms per hectare or 60 pounds per acre, which is the recommended rate of fertilization for this crop in this part of the state of Tennessee. At the subplot level, there were four different cover crop treatments with a no cover crop, a winter wheat, so a high C-to-N ratio cover crop, and then two nitrogen-fixing cover crops, crimson clover and hairy vetch. I'm only going to show you data from the hairy vetch plots, but realize this is a low C-to-N ratio nitrogen fixing cover crop, so it's a good comparison. And then at the sub plot level, we have till and conventional tillage and zero tillage treatments. So that's a lot of plots, a total of 128. We never actually work in all of the plots at the same time. It's too much. So we have been sampling since the spring of 2016, looking at all elements of the soil nitrogen cycle and gaseous fluxes from the soil. And we sample throughout the year, both during the cover cropping season, during the winter, and during the main cotton crop season. So if you've never seen cotton growing, this is what it looks like out in the field. We measured greenhouse gas fluxes using static vented chambers, and these are following the GRACENET protocol. The GRACENET is the Greenhouse Reduction Through Agricultural Carbon Enhancement Network. And so we are going to make our data available on GRACENET database, and comparable with all the other greenhouse gas data that are up there. So basically we took headspace samples over a defined period of time and sent those to the lab for analysis of carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane. So I think the next slide is into the data. So I'm going to show you a seasonal nitrous oxide fluxes from the three different winter cover crop treatments. So this is starting with a no cover crop treatment, and these are data through the calendar year of 2016. We're still wrapping up 2017 sampling and the QA/QC of the data. So what we have here are four different lines in the filled circles. We have the no-till treatments, both 0 kilograms of nitrogen in the black circles, the 72 kilograms of nitrogen added in the red circles, and then the triangles are the conventional tillage treatments with 0 and 72 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, respectively. And so what we saw was some of the greatest fluxes during the cotton growing season. That's between about middle of June through the end of October. But we also see some significant fluxes in late March, early April. And that's during the winter cover cropping season. And what we see, which is no surprise with no cover crop, is we see the highest flux rates in the yellow triangles, and that's coming from soils that have been conventionally tilled and have inorganic nitrogen fertilizer added. Now to look at a nitrogen fixing, so a low C-to-N ratio, nitrogen fixing cover crop. This is the hairy vetch. This had the our highest measured rates of flux, and those came from, you can see, the no-till treatments, also with nitrogen fertilizer added. So it's hard to see, but we also have high fluxes later during the cover cropping, the cotton season, from the conventionally tilled with nitrogen fertilizer added. So there is apparently a tillage and cover cropping and nitrogen fertilizer interaction that's going to take us a little while to tease apart. And then finally, we have the seasonal fluxes of N2O from a high C-to-N ratio cover crop. This is the wheat cover crop, and you can see actually the highest flux rates come from the yellow and red symbols, and so that's in both zero tillage and tillage treatments with inorganic nitrogen fertilizer added. Again, maybe not too much of a surprise given that that added nitrogen may be what's feeding this denitrification in these soils. So that was all rather difficult to see any emergent patterns. So when we take those data and do a rough annual greenhouse gas budget, that's just adding up the cumulative rate based on those field data, we'll have better estimates when we do a model parameterization with APEX, so with a soil biogeochemical model. That may give us some added insight into what is controlling at least nitrous oxide flux in these soils. But what is clear is it looks like there is this soil structure influence via tillage. This looks like it could be a key factor in that if you look at the black and red bars, with zero nitrogen added, we see a reduction in nitrous oxide emission with conventional tillage. Yet for the green and yellow, we see an increase in nitrous oxide emission under conventional tillage, except where we have a nitrogen fixing cover crop. In fact, we have by far the largest cumulative nitrous oxide nitrogen release in a no-till system with a nitrogen-fixing cover crop with nitrogen fertilizer added. And so this could very well be evidence of, you know, excess nitrogen on these fields with a cover crop and with a nitrogen-fixing cover crop and fertilizer addition. But I'll show that data in a second. I want to show my half a slide on methane emission. So we do have changes in both. We may have a small net sink or source for methane, depending upon our management practices. I don't want to say too much about this. I just want to throw that out there. If anybody wants to talk about it and maybe give me some insight after this talk, I'd love to hear it. One thing we did try to take into account was if you look at the yields, so at the top slide here we have the yields for all those same treatments, and what I want you to take away from this is that for no-till and a vetch cover crop, that's enough to sustain the same yield as you would have with conventional tillage and 60 pounds of nitrogen added. So you don't need to add any fertilizer to maintain yield in these soils. And when we take the amount of plant nitrogen uptake and scale our nitrous oxide fluxes to that, we see that large effect of the nitrous oxide release from the nitrogen-fixing vetch under no-till tends to be greatly reduced. And that's because we do see this additional plant nitrogen uptake. But again, that's not quite the whole story because, like I said, it looks like there's greater available soil nitrogen with a nitrogen-fixing vetch cover crop or with fertilization. So again, I apologize for the huge bar graph, but this is a breakdown of the pools of available soil nitrogen over the whole time of this 2016, and you can see we have nitrate and ammonium nitrogen and also extractable organic nitrogen. And in the red circle is the vetch treatment with nitrogen fertilizer added. You can see a lot more nitrate in that soil and a lot less extractable organic nitrogen. And so that may be what's driving increased nitrous oxide flux. But there's also a seasonal pattern here. And so these are data from both March and May of 2016. And this spans the cover crop season. So this is before fertilization and before the main cotton crop is planted. We can see we switch. If you look in the red circle, we switch from predominantly organic nitrogen in these soils to a large amount of nitrate in these soils. And I don't have time to get into the mechanistics of the nitrogen cycle and what we think may be happening in these plots, but my postdoc, Julie, is going to be talking about this tomorrow, and I'm going to give you a pointer to her talk at the end here. So just in summary, I think long-term management, in this case we have 30 years of management, may be very important to understanding some of these controls on nitrous oxide emissions, in that soil structure, particularly that influenced via tillage, looks like it's a key factor. And again, we see greater greenhouse gas flux from a no-till soil, and that's where we've perhaps created a more heterogeneous microbial environment. And that we also have that interacting with these seasonal changes in N-form and transformation rates that seem to be driven by what's happening during the cover cropping season. So like I said, what happens in March and May really seems to be determinant of what happens later on during the main crop growing season. And to see more on that, I mean, I feel like I did not do it justice, but I know Julie will. She'll talk about the long-term mechanistic controls on nitrogen transformation. So her talk is going to be at 10:45 tomorrow morning in Convention Center, room 37. So I think I got in the weeds, but I don't think I got out. So thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.